Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. My name is Rhonda Branch, and I'm the guest host sitting in for Vicki Winterton. I am so excited today to have with me award-winning publisher and author Vera Mahajan. She is the author of Unreported, Domestic Abuse is an Unreported Crime, and Learning to Live Free is a Journey. Welcome, Vera. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on your show.
It is an honor to have you on our show today. Your book is important to the world that we live in today, and
thank you.
Personally want to say thank you for educating the world and enlightening us about this subject. So Vera, tell me a little bit about yourself, about your passion and your purpose in life.
My passion right now, well, I mean, like most people say, sometimes you don't know that why you live a certain way of life. And now it's become more open and clear for me. And just because I have more time and my regular responsibilities of home and children are kind of taken care. So I feel I was born to talk about resolving disputes in a better way and not fighting. I just can't fight. If someone fights back, or fights with me or try to be angry with me, I just kind of go back and look at it. There's what is bothering them and why is it bothering me? My first job is to take care of me. And that's what I want to teach or tell people. Instead of complaining and blaming everybody else, and I'm not saying people don't hurt you, there are abusers in the world, but how do we allow that to happen? And that's how I came to this point. I was in a marriage which started just like any relationship, amazing, beautiful. He was the most wonderful boyfriend, husband for a while. And then things just start changing, and I'm like, I am a smart, strong woman. How am I letting this happen? And I didn't have time because children and business and home. But when my children started growing up, I'm like, this is not right. It's hurting me, and I can't do this anymore. So I got out, and that's what I started analyzing my life to say, at what point, when did the shift happen? When did I start letting someone else hurt me and I started accepting it? It just happens gradually, and that becomes your normal, and then it gets worse. So that's why I think it's very important to know what we want and what we need. There are wants and there are needs, and being respected and taken care and treated nice, those should be needs. Those are not wants. Yeah, wanting a car, wanting a big house, but you can do without it. You can do with a smaller car. You can do with a smaller house. But if someone says, oh, yeah, I love you, but then they end up hurting you in so many ways, and then they bring back flowers and say, I love you, that is not working. Because when did you give permission to someone to say, it's okay to hurt me once in a while? It is not okay for anyone to hurt you ever. Even in the back of my book, I said that you can't accept love once in a while. You can't live on these crumbs of love, a hope of love. And that's what a lot of abusers get away with. They give you these ups and downs, and they hurt you, they give you love, and you get confused like, oh, but he loves me. Oh, but she loves me. But my mother is nice to me, but then she mistreats me, or anybody else in your business even. They can't mistreat you. They can't make you feel bad. They can't disrespect you. That has to be 100%. Like, I want to be loved 100% of the time. And that's what I tell people. If you say you love me, remember this face. Look at this face. And always remember, I love that face. I love her. I'm never going to hurt her. And it's my job to never give permission to anyone to say it's okay to hurt me once in a while. Because it's not okay to hurt you anytime. And that pain, that hurt, that anger, or however somebody treats you bad, that doesn't happen just for those 10 minutes or half hour or one day. It kind of wipes out a lot of other good and fun times that you've had. And that's not right. If you are afraid of someone today, that fear is going to go on, and you'll always be like, when is that going to come again? If you're in a good, healthy, loving relationship, you should never be afraid. So 100% of love and 0% of fear, that's what I believe and that's what I want people to know, that they deserve that. That's their life. And they also have a responsibility to say, this is what I deserve and this is what I'm going to get. Otherwise, you'll always be blaming and trying to get away from one abuser. You'll find another one. So saying no for good. I am not a victim. If you're not a victim of this person or that person, then you're not a victim of anyone. Otherwise, you're just saying, okay, you can't hurt me, but you can, or this person can. I'll take it from there, but not. Like, I'm a strong woman overall, but I did allow a very few people in my life to hurt me. And why? Why would I allow that? Now I'm at a point like nobody gets to hurt me. And it's my job to make sure right from start to say never. If you give permission once, then it will get 1.5 and 2 and 3, and it just keeps getting bigger. And one day you're lost in that relationship and it's become abusive. And even if they say once in, like someone I know, they say, I am a pretty amazing guy, but once in a while I get that, and most people will say, it's not so bad. I'm better than most. I'm not with most. I want to be with the one who never hurts me. And if I can do that, I'm not hurting you. I'm always paying attention to you. And that's what I expect back. You never get to hurt me, 0%. And yes, it might mean very harsh on some people, but it's only harsh on people who want to hurt you once in a while. People who don't want to hurt you ever, that makes sense to them. And that's the kind of people you want to be with.
This is so enlightening. I hope that our listeners today are really listening. And I love what you said. 100% love is what you deserve, and 0% fear. And for women to absolutely to start saying no for good, no, no, that is so powerful. Vera, when did you start writing?
When did I start writing?
Yes.
This book I started writing, actually it's an interesting story how this book came about. Like I said, I was going through divorce about 6 years ago, and I did not want to focus on, yes, I wanted to get out of the marriage that was not good, it was hurting me, it was hurting my children, it was abusive, and I didn't even know it was abusive till I saw. And by the way, let me say, go back and say, I started helping some women and children groups when I had a little more time. My kids were going to high school. And again, I didn't know that I was so passionate about it. I always knew I wanted to help that cause. It made me feel bad when I saw other people or some woman, some children being abused. And you don't even realize you are in that. Maybe that's why you have so much passion for that. So one day in that group, we were being shown a video to train the workers to see signs of abuse. And I said, oh, my God, my tears were rolling down my eyes. I'm like, this is my life. I didn't even know I was living in abuse. I just thought I was living with an angry man. But there's so many different ways of abuse. People don't even understand. You only know the kind of abuse that's bothering you. So, of course, you know, that once you see it, then you can't take it. Then you know you need to do something about it. So awareness is like a huge thing. You have to know when you are afraid of something, that's abuse. Nobody should be allowed to make you afraid or live in fear. So anyways, to move forward, I, you know, went through a divorce, and I had to write stories and tell people about why this happened and when it happened. And I was, luckily, I love to write and I have a really good memory. It helped my lawyer, and I was going through working with a counselor to stay strong and know where I am and what I want, and which is freedom. You know, even though you live in a free country, but a lot of women are not really free. If you always have to ask, whatever you have to do, you need someone else's approval, you're really not free. So that's why the subtitle of my book is Learning to Live Free. It's a journey. You don't even know. You're always looking for approval because that's all you know. So anyways, I started writing and going back and back and finding out, when did I start doing this? When did I start giving the control over my life to someone else? And when did I get into fear? Because I was still a businesswoman. I was running this amazing business with my ex, of course. He was the CEO, and I'm the president of the company. And I'm most of the time the active operational manager, and I'm the person running the business. And most people thought I was strong, and I was brave, and I'm a risk taker, and I'm amazing. And then I go home, and I have to get everything approved by him. I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of his anger. My children are afraid of his anger. So we're watching our ways, how to not be in his way, and everything depended on his mood, basically. So I started going back and back and back into my life all the way to since I was a child, and kind of going both ways, you know, backwards to where it started and then also where I am. So am I writing my current days? It was like a memoir. And my divorce is happening, and my book is finished, and I'm like, okay, and she gets divorced. That's the end of my book. I'm like, no, my goal was not to get divorced. I'm married, and I had children, and I had this family to have a peaceful life, and it didn't happen. But now I'm getting a divorce to be free. The divorce is not to get a divorce. Now what? If I don't fix my ways, I'll probably end up getting into a similar relationship again. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I don't know how to live free. I've never been free. And so I started interviewing a lot of people who have gone through abusive relationships of some sort, either boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, wife, or parents, or whatever. So I interviewed a lot of people, and I wanted to only interview people who are actually successful financially, not only financially, but also happy after that. If you're not happy, you're really not successful. You are not free if you're still bickering and biting about what someone did. So you're still a victim of that person who did something, even though you've moved away. Yes, you moved away, you're divorced, but you're still fighting with that. And so anyways, I interviewed a lot of people. And then, oh, my God, it was just like referrals were coming. You should talk to her. You should talk to him. I found some reverse abuse, a lot of women. I mean, mostly it's men abusing women, but there are some really, really tough women who are making the life hell for some wonderful men. And I interviewed these men, so I have some stories in the book about that too. So that's where this book comes about, how to learn to live. I didn't know how to learn to live free. I didn't know how to live free, so I needed to learn. So I learned from, you know, examples that if they can do it, then I can do it. It gives you hope, plus it gives you some tools. And I have all that in this little book, and it's very intentionally kept small and inexpensive, because I feel like everybody has at least heard someone, know someone who is going through that. So I want to make it small enough and inexpensive enough so you can just buy and give a gift. You can read and pass it on. And there's a lot of, it's not just from me, there's real stories. They're fictitious names to keep their names and their, you know, lives private. But the stories are real, and the advice is real, and their lessons learned are real. So I think it's a really good go-to book, which is a handy little book you can have and say, plus it gives a very book of hope that these are real people who came out of it, came strong, and I'm one of them. So I wanted to share, and same thing with the other people in the book. They wanted to share their stories with the hope that someone else will take advantage from our experiences, from our hindsight. Like they say, hindsight is 20/20, and we wish someone was telling us what to do and how to do and what to look for, what mistakes not to make when you're going through divorce or when you're making a decision or when you're thinking about making a decision. And we're bringing all that to you, so your life and your decision-making and your process is a little bit easier than what we went through.
That is wonderful. And I understand that you have a degree in dispute resolution. So has that helped you to empower the families and individuals that you work with?
Yes, totally, because it teaches me how to, you know, like we call it iceberg effect. When you see a problem which is above the water, which is actually attacking you, the main conflict, there's a lot bigger emotion going on under the surface, and you need to pay attention to that. If you don't fix that, you can't really fix the problem. So it's very important to listen and listen actively and try to put yourself in their place and say, how else would you do this? What could be a better, you know, solution for that? So we try to find solutions instead of whose fault it is and try to weigh it just on the facts that you see today. But you don't know where it started. So I didn't, even though I finished my degree here at Pepperdine now after my divorce, so I've been really still trying to work on my own growth. I did spiritual psychology, then I did my master's in dispute resolution. So when somebody reads my book, I don't want them to think just because I got divorced, I am against marriage. Anything happened, just go drop off and, you know, get divorced. No, you try to find a solution. But for finding any solution, both parties have to agree and want to come to a solution, and that's what mediation is. We are not just lawyers trying to make our fight harder and be soldiers for our opposite parties and just, you know, make the fights even bigger and expensive. We're trying to hear both parties, and we're trying to say, okay, how do you salvage the relationship? How can you agree on something? And so at least both of you may have to compromise a little bit, and that's what life is about. Compromise, but you are not trying to hurt each other. So those are the resolutions we try to find in mediation, and that kind of goes very well with what I'm trying to do in life. And like I said, with spiritual psychology, I also learned how to look inside yourself too, so you don't come in with that attitude of fighting. You come in with the attitude of trying to resolve something, and which is very important for any mediation and you know, dispute resolution.
Absolutely, just wonderful. What challenges have you faced with your writing?
I like to write. I think if you start writing to write an article, or if you start writing with the thought of I'm writing a book, then it can be a little bit limiting. You're thinking about everything. I would suggest, and that's what has worked for me finally, is just pour your heart out. And that's what I tell anybody, pour your heart out. And just keep writing. That, you know, the open, what do they call it, free-form writing is very amazing. And make sure you write every day if you're trying to finish something. And that's what I used to do. You know, I would just sit and write, and a lot of my writing happens at night for some reason, maybe because I'm working or I'm studying or doing something else during the day. And now with publishing, I have to write more regularly, so I can do that too. But most of my free-flow writing, I like to write at night when it's quiet, but some people are early people, so, you know, make a time. Like I talked to once the director of, I don't know if you know the movie, Bandit Like Beckham.
Yes.
And that's what her advice, and, you know, so I learned from everybody. I met her, and she said, you have to have a schedule. You can't just say, if you're actually trying to finish a project, you have to have a schedule. And write something, and just keep pouring it down. And then you can find an editor or your own proofreading when you do go over it. You can always make changes right later. But just, you know, if you have enough material, you can edit it down to a book or an article. But if you don't even have enough down, then if you keep thinking about doing it, then you'll never do it. So you have to just do it. You know, just write something down and find whatever time works best for you. It could be middle of the day. It could be in the morning. It could be at night. For me, it's you know, sometimes 11 o'clock I start, and then I'm writing till 3 a.m., and that works best for me. So everybody will be different, but you have to find what works best for you and just write it down. Don't try to edit it at that time. Don't try to make proper sentences. Just pour it out. And if they're going back and forth in different times, do that. You can always move things around. Luckily, now we're not writing in hand. You know, you can move stuff around in your Word documents. So.
Great advice. What do you hope readers will take away from your book?
Well, from my book, I want people to, the most important thing is you deserve better. You deserve freedom. You deserve happy. And it's your responsibility. Don't let anybody take it away from you. That's why you know, I'm not saying just you look for trouble, But if you see trouble, look for these red signs and say no. Because if something's not good for you, like someone said, if it's not fun, don't do it. You know, and when I say fun, it's not just actual going out and dancing around and getting drunk and be silly. But if something is hurting you, it's not good for you, and it's your job to say no. Otherwise, how does the other person know even that it's hurting you? And then that becomes a new normal. If you're letting someone hurt you for 6 months and all of a sudden one day you get upset, they wouldn't even know what happened. Now you actually you're like making them confused because you've been accepting it for so long. So you have to start putting your foot down and, you know, stop it when it starts. So that's why the 100% of the love is important. You never let someone say, it's okay to hurt me once in a while. No, it's not okay to hurt you once in a while. Why should you hurt at all?
Yes, absolutely. It sounds so simple to think, but actually it's not, because a lot of people, all of us, including me, have been in relationships where we accept it and then all of a sudden you just explode and say, hey, no more, no more. But as you said, once you accept it, that person thinks, oh, it's okay for me just to jerk you around or do whatever I want to do, because you're sending the message, it's okay.
Right, because that's their normal. That's how they treat people, and you're giving into their normal. And now this is what they do, right? But
right.
If it's hurting you, whose job is it to say it's hurting me? It was so funny. Long time ago, I was actually a lot younger. I mean, many years ago, of course, I was younger. And I heard Cher's interview, and she said, just like she was talking more about food, but it's true for anything when you look at that. She said, do you put junk and water or Coke in your car? Why do you put all this garbage in yourself? So you have to make those decisions. My car doesn't take bad fuel, or it doesn't take this. My body for my health doesn't take garbage, otherwise it hurts me. Same thing with this abuse. You have to not do it at all. We don't pour Coke in our car once in a while. We always have to get the right gas. And you know what happens with our eating. If we put junk in our body, it messes it up. It's like forces us to be on the right track. So why do we want to wait till someone is hurting us and it's hurting us really bad and then say, I don't like it? We don't like it. We know we don't like it. So stop it as soon as we don't like it, you know?
That's powerful. Thank you so much. What impact would you like to see your book have on the world?
Oh, on the world. Again, seriously, just like anything else, I am not a huge newspaper reader or a politician, because I know we should pay attention, and I do pay attention to things that happen around the world, because something, when it's really big, it's someone is going to tell you, and you will end up seeing on news, or you will end up, you know, hearing it. But overall, I feel like if we start taking responsibility for our lives and not pay attention and fight someone else for what they're doing unnecessarily, we get ourselves involved in other people's business when we don't even know how we are feeling and how we are treating ourselves. And if we start taking care of ourselves, we won't have to fight with anybody else. We will be stopping the fight before they start. And that's what I want people to feel. It's like, know that take care of yourself. It's our responsibility to be happy. It's our responsibility to make ourselves happy. Don't depend on someone else to make you happy. Take responsibility. Be happy. Take responsibility of what you've done and take consequences of that. And don't blame someone else. You know, sometimes, yes, there are other people to be blamed, but a lot of those things can be stopped way before we get to the level of, just like the abuse, we blame other people to abuse us, but if we hadn't let that go that far so it becomes abuse, the minute someone is loud at you, it's like, no, I'm not going to talk to you. Be nice. And then they will get it. Maybe it'll be uncomfortable for them in the beginning because they're used to yelling and you're not taking it. But if they want to talk to you, they better behave. And it works. Mm. It works, really works. That's what I'm doing now. Nobody gets to hurt me. Nobody gets to be loud at me. Nobody gets to be abusive with me. And, I mean, people do it in the name of the love, right? You love romantic love, but people love their family, my mother or my children or my brothers. Of course I love them. But do I give them a right to hurt me? No. When I say nobody gets to hurt me, it's not just a boyfriend. Of course I've already gave up my husband of many years because of that. But nobody, when I say nobody, you don't make exceptions who gets to hurt you. So nobody gets to hurt you. And you have to say no to it all. And that's also a very important part of my book. When I say no to abuse, I'm not just saying no to the abuser. You're saying no to abuse. So it doesn't even come and hit you. You're stopping it before it starts.
That is wonderful. And I know our listeners, I'm telling you, unreported, you heard it from me today. We're going to be hearing about unreported everywhere. Vera is just going to be tired of talking and empowering people all over the world. Unreported, make sure you get this book. It is a gem. It is a lifesaver for people all over the world. Unreported. Domestic abuse is an unreported crime, and learning to live free, it is a journey. And Vera, it truly has been a journey listening to you today to also empower me, to empower our listening audience. To know that we do not have to accept abuse from anyone in any type of relationship, business, personal, loving, that is so very powerful. Thank you so much. And everybody, please go on Amazon, go wherever you buy your books, and please buy Vera Mahajan's book today, Unreported. Vera, how do our listeners continue to contact and connect with you after today?
Well, I published it's a self-published book, or it's published through my magazine, which is called Malibu Chronicle. I own the magazine out of Malibu. Please look it up, and you can reach me on the same email. It's Vera, V-E-E-R-A, at MalibuChronicle.com. It's M-A-L-I-B-U. chronicle.com. So Vera at MalibuChronicle.com. You can send me an email. I will definitely respond back. And anything, any questions, any comments, and I might learn something from you. If you have your stories, please send it to me. Love reading it. Thank you.
Again, Vera, thank you for joining us today. And thank you, listeners, for listening in to this very dynamic woman who is changing the world. Make sure you are part of it and get on that journey with her. So if you would like to discover more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and our global communities, and broadcast, go to getei.com. Everyone, have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you very soon.